Thank you for listening to this recorded sermon from Brownsdale Baptist Church. This message from Pastor Jonathan McCullough is titled,
Building Uncommon Friendships.
You can listen to more recorded sermons on our website at brownsdalebaptistchurch.com.
Those faces begin to flash across the screens of our minds. A smile appears to chase away the frown, because that's what friends do. Friends bring such warmth and peace. That's because we were built for them. We were built for them. Did you know this morning that God created us for relationships? He created us for relationships. He created us to share. We were never meant to live our lives in isolation. It's unhealthy. Scientists, psychologists, they'll tell you it's unhealthy to live your life in isolation. We were created for relationships and for friendships. I know that because we were created in the imago Dei of God, the image of God. The Godhead in Trinity has existed in perfect relationship and unity forever. God expresses Himself in a trinity of persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit exists and function in perfect, unified relationships. And we were created in that image. Created us for that same purpose, with that same desire for relationship. In Genesis, God had created the heavens and the earth. He divided it day and night. He created the animals and the vegetation, the whole earth with all of its fullness. And He looks around, and there's a feeling that it's incomplete. He knows the job's not done. And so He reaches down and He scoops up a handful of clay. And with that clay, He begins to fashion what would be His crowning achievement in creation. This creation will look different from all of the rest. I think we'll make this one like us, to look like us, to feel like us. And He fashions from a handful of clay our father, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. Then He breathes into that lifeless body. He breathes into His nostrils the breath of life, and Adam begins to stir, and he becomes a living soul. That could have been enough. That could have been enough right there. He has Adam in the garden. Adam will express God's glory in the earth, but it wasn't enough. God saw a need in Adam that He had created in him. Just as the Father, Son, and Spirit live together in unity and relationship, God said Adam needs somebody too. So in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him." And God made for Adam someone he could relate with, someone he could share life with, somebody that he could enjoy and experience the enjoyments of life with. Yes, it was a wife, but it came from a place of relational need. We were created this morning. We were created for wholesome, fulfilling, nourishing relationships. And when we don't have those fulfilling relationships, we know and feel that something vital is missing. Well, God gives them to us most often in our friends. That's the way that He gives them to us. And all the impact that those friends have in our lives. The impacts of friendship can't be overstated this morning. One Christian pastor gave this list of the impact that friends have on us. I want to share those with you. He said that these relationships, these friendships, have a potency, a power to affect us either positively or negatively, but either way, these friendships, they affect us greatly. He said they can delight us. Intimate relationships are often a great source of enjoyment. We find delight in the relationships that we have, those friendships. He said that friendships can develop us, teach us how to get along with each other. Some people wouldn't do a good job of that. But friendships will help us to get along. They'll teach us how to relate on a deeper level. Friendships will drive us. They'll motivate us. They'll energize us. Keep plugging along. Soar higher. Dig deeper. Grow stronger. Friendships will do that to us. But they also have the ability to disillusion us. Sometimes even the best of friends can let us down or walk away. That's never a good reason, though, to refuse to trust again. That they have the potential to disillusion us. Friendships have the potential to distress us. We head the wrong direction. Even walk away from the Lord because somebody we trusted did something they shouldn't have done. Friendships have the ability, great, positive, potency and power, but they also have negative abilities to drag us down, to pull us away. They also have the power, friendships have the potent power to destroy us. Unwise companionships can lead us to make decisions that will destroy our lives forever. There are people in this place that friendships led you down the wrong road. Thank God Jesus found you. Thank God Jesus took you. And He turned your life around.
Amen.
But that was after the negative effect of a friendship. Friendships are powerful things. They're impactful things. And we've experienced all of it. So if we have this innate need built into us for friendship, and they have the power to impact our lives both positively and negatively, then we must be wise in choosing and establishing the right kind of friendships. Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
Amen. I thought it was going to be a little bit different. I haven't straightened a lot at one time. The kind of friendships that I think we need and the kind that I'm going to ask you to pray for are not common friendships. They are uncommon friendships. The type of friendships that I'm going to ask you to pray for and ask you to develop require special attention and work. And so we've called them uncommon friendships. I want to read that passage one more time. Proverbs 18:24, read it real slow. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Makes sense, right? And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, if you read that text in the King James Bible and don't take time to study what that passage says, you're going to miss the impact of the verse. You'll miss it. That first portion of that verse simply says, it seems to be a positive statement. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Right? If I'm going to have friends, I got to be a friendly person. That's the way you read it on the surface. But if you see that in the original language, if you read it in the original language, it doesn't have such a positive connotation. The first portion, a man that hath friends in the original, carries the connotation of a shepherd with stinking sheep. Y'all stay with me. Many sheep, many companions. But how many of you know you can't have a flock of sheep without having some serious responsibility? Many friends, many companions bring responsibility. That shepherd has to watch over them. He has to feed them. He has to care for them. He has to tend to them. The more he has, the greater the responsibility. So Solomon, with that imagery in mind, says that man must show himself friendly. In other words, he has to keep the show going. He has to please this one, and he has to please that one at the same time. Each companion. No, not one sheep, not one friend can be left out. And y'all know the truth of that statement. You fail to show enough attention to one, and they get mad. You don't invite all 1,000 to the beach, they hold a grudge for 10 years. A lot of companions can be stressful. It requires a lot of work. And so the second phrase in the Hebrew carries a bad connotation. It literally means he can come to ruin. That's what that phrase means. In other words, he can wear himself out trying to appease many friends. That's what that passage means. Not because friendships are bad. They're not bad most of the time. But because we're dealing with people. And honestly, if they're common friendships, then there's not a whole lot of sacrifice on each. There's going to be a whole lot of sacrifice on each member's parts. We kind of have them to get out of them what we want. Establish those common relationships. And as long as that person does this for me, then they're going to be my friend. And the moment that they don't live up to my standards, I'm done with them. But your friendships can be that way. That ain't none of us in here, though. I'm talking about, you know, could happen. Somebody else, somewhere else. Maybe a voyage or something. The second half of that verse, though, the second half of the verse is what I want to focus on, because it describes a different kind of friendship, a different kind of relationship, the kind I will encourage today. Notice first the reality of uncommon friendships. Look at the second part of that verse. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, this is the verse we quote about who? Jesus, all the time. And it's absolutely true about him. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. We experience him that way, right? He's there when other people are gone. He sticks with us. He's never failed me. He's never left me to face trouble alone in my life. He's always been there. He's present. He's available. That's who Jesus is. Loyal, trustworthy, genuine, present, invested, committed. But that's who he is. But don't miss this. This passage is not just about Jesus. This is the kind of friend that he is calling us to be. Everybody in this room, don't miss the comparison, the contrast in this verse. One kind of friend in the first part wears you out trying to manage the relationship. The other kind, second half, brings familial emotions. They're like family. Yeah. They're like a brother or a sister. Solomon says, be that kind of friend. Be that kind of friend. Uncommon friendships. That's the reason I call them uncommon. They exist. They're an opportunity in our lives, but they aren't like the first group. Those companions of the first group, those friendships of the first group, are a dime a dozen. We got a bunch of them. We know them. They're acquaintances. I mean, if we don't dislike them, they're okay people. But they're not within our inner circle. We got a bunch outside of arm's reach. That's just the way they are. But notice how he defines in quantity the second group of friends. Notice what he says. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That brings us to the second point. They exist. Uncommon friendships exist. But secondly, they're rare. They are rare. Solomon, in order to show us the rarity of uncommon friendship, simply uses the plural for the first type of friend. And then he uses the singular for the second type of friend. He that hath friends, many acquaintances, demand a lot of time and energy. That's common friendships. But he goes on to say there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Those are uncommon friendships, and they're rare. I had a mentor of mine who's up in age. He's had a tremendous impact on my life. We were talking one day, and Ben knows him very well. And we were talking about this topic. We were talking about friendship. And he looked at me and he said, Jonathan, listen to an old man. When you get to the end of your life, you're going to have a whole lot of acquaintances. People you know and you respect and you love them. But if you can count your friends on one hand, uncommon friendships, if you can count them on one hand, you're beyond blessed.
Amen.
You're beyond blessed. That's because these relationships that Solomon is talking about, these friendships, are rare. They're rare. They're rare because they don't just happen. They don't just happen. They have to be built. They have to be nourished. Common friendships just happen. Right. You bump into people. They're kind of cool. You talk a little bit. You know them in passing, and they just happen. There's no work there. That's common friendships. But uncommon friendships have to have work to be established. They require uncommon friendship.
That's right.
Jesus spent 3.5 years of pouring into those men and women. They spent time together and a whole lot of it. They ate together. They cried together. They laughed together. They encouraged each other. They lifted one another up. They held each other accountable. They had uncommon friendships. But those friendships came at a cost. Time and energy. Not everyone in your life will be at this level. But the few that are, they require effort and focus. I think of Jonathan and David in Scripture. They had an uncommon friendship. Jonathan was a prince. His dad was the king. David was a shepherd. Jonathan came from wealth and affluence. David came from a hard-working family of meager means. Jonathan had the responsibility of royalty to see to. David had a flock of sheep to oversee. But in all of their responsibilities, they built a strong, vibrant, and lasting friendship. So much so that even after Jonathan had died, he was dead and gone, David was still being a friend to Jonathan. You remember the story. David now was anointed king. As the king, he looks at his servants and he asks the question, is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I can bless for Jonathan's sake? Because he loved Jonathan. And that servant looked at the king and said, yes, sir. Jonathan has a son who was lame on his feet. He's a crippled boy living in the land of Lodabar. He had his name as Mephibosheth. Thought about naming my kid that. Thank you, sir. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we settled for Prosper. That crippled boy's land, he's living in the land of Lodabar, which literally means slum or waste place. Not only is he crippled, he's living in a slum or a waste place. He is forgotten. The rest of the people of Israel has forgotten the grandson of the king who was a failure. And he was left to die in the land of Lodabar. But thank God for an uncommon friendship. Because David said, I don't care where he is. I don't care how hard it is to get to him. You pack everything up. You load it up, and if you've got to bust through and wade through the mire and the mud yourself, Ziba, you go to where he is, and you pull that crippled boy out of Lodabar, you bring him to my house because he's going to eat like one of my kids at my table.
Amen.
Uncommon friendships. They require work. They require time. They require energy. They're built. They don't just happen. They're built. Not only are they built, they are bolstered. These uncommon friendships are strengthened through common commitment, kindness and compassion, loyalty and faithfulness. You want to be the right kind of people? I want to be the right kind of person. I want to be the right kind of friend. Challenge me, Brother Jonathan. Challenge me. It requires loyalty. It requires faithfulness. I always think of Ruth when I think of uncommon friendships. You remember the uncommon friendship of Ruth and Naomi? If you don't, let me tell you the story. Naomi moved from her home with her new husband into a strange country. They started to build a life together. They had two sons who grew up. They watched grow up. They had what they needed. Her husband worked hard. Those two sons married. And now she has two daughters-in-law. Right in the moment that everything looked like it was going smooth and life was on the mountaintop, the rug was snatched from under the feet of Naomi. And the only man she ever loved, his life was ended. She lost her husband. The dust didn't even settle. And she hears word, she gets news that not only has her son, her husband died, but her two sons, both of them, are gone. And all that's left is Naomi and two daughters-in-law. Naomi, in distress, brokenhearted, she says to herself, I have nothing left.
And so she decides to pick up what little bit she does have, and she starts back home to Bethlehem. And she's leaving to get out of there and to go back to her home country. Those two daughter-in-laws are following her. And Naomi turns back to both of them and says, listen, there ain't nothing for you here. I have nothing to offer you. I'm just dead weight. This is the conversation she's having. I'm just dead weight. And the Bible says that Orpah turned around, but Ruth looked at her because Ruth had an uncommon friendship with Naomi. And Ruth looked at Naomi and said, oh, no. Where you go, I'm going to go. Where you live, that's where I'm going to live. That's an uncommon friendship. That's something that demands time and energy. It's built, and then it's both bolstered through common commitment. Not only does it require these uncommon friendships, not only do they require that type of commitment, there are several things that they require if we're going to build them. The requirements that I wrote down, I could have wrote down several more of them, but I wrote down a handful, and I want to get through them just as quickly as I can. But if you're going to build lasting, strong, loyal, committed friendships that are uncommon, this is what it's going to take. Number one, it's going to take shared interests. Shared interests. Uncommon friendships require shared interests. These friendships are built on a common foundation. And for the believer, that foundation is Christ. If the friendship doesn't have a firm, common footing, then the building will not stand. It can't. This doesn't mean that they won't be acquaintances, that you won't love them or care for them. It just means that there will come a time when you will have to agree to disagree. And you're going to have to make a different choice or go in a different direction. You know what I think of when I think of that? There's a man by the name of Demas in the New Testament. Paul the Apostle loved Demas. And at first, Demas seemed to start well. But something happened in the process of ministry to Demas. Because Demas wasn't standing on the same footing. In a very sad passage of Scripture, Paul, speaking of his friend, speaks of the demise of Demas in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. And this is what he said. For Demas hath forsaken me. And you can hear the disappointment in Paul's voice when he says that for heartache. He's forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world. And he's departed. Listen to me, young person. Not every person is meant to stay. Not every person is meant to stay. People will show up and some will leave. And you can look around at your life today and there are people who you think will be there forever, but in 20 years, you won't even know where they are because life changes rapidly. So quit wearing yourself out on people that won't be there for the long haul anyway.
Amen.
Praise God. I don't know why I'm going to go here, but some of you are trying to be someone completely different from who you are because you want so desperately for that person to like you. You want their friendship so badly that you're willing to compromise who you are. No! Genuine, uncommon friendships are built on common footing. Quit trying to build friendships on shifting sand. Because those friendships have a tendency to lead to ruin. That's what Solomon said. The wrong people generally will pull us away from Christ. They do not lead us to Him. Some of you, just this week, you realize that the wrong people make you do and say things that are diametrically opposed to your relationship with the Lord. It was 4th of July. Nobody look around. Nobody wants to stick out like a sore thumb. Nobody wants to be considered that. That's what they used to call us. I don't know what they call us now. Goody, goody, two sticks. I don't know what it is. But the Bible is clear about making friends with the wrong people. Proverbs 4:14. Y'all should write this down and read it later. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. And then the next verse, he gets even more blunt. Avoid it. Don't even pass by it, he says. Turn from it and pass away. Proverbs 24, verses 1 and 2. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways, and get a snare to thy soul. But let me know that bad company can corrupt us. Yeah. See, that's what that verse said. Don't you befriend him. That meanness is going to rub off on you. That's my interpretation of that passage. That meanness is going to rub off. The New Testament tells us not to be a friend of the world, because the world is at enmity with Christ. That's why. Over and over again. Why? Because bad company corrupts good manners. Y'all ever heard how the 102-year-old lady responded to the question that she was asked about the benefits of living past the century mark? You know what her answer was? No peer pressure. Y'all get it in a minute. Be careful who you choose as a friend. There was a farmer one day. He got tired of listening to the crows flying around his farm. He said, you know what, I'm going to rid this farm of them things. He walks outside with his shotgun. And he hears them in the distance. He turns, pow! He shoots them out of the sky. All of a sudden, he walks up to the pile that was laying there, and he finds in the pile of crows his pet parrot. Thankfully, the parrot lived. She had a broken wing. His little boy looked at him and said, Daddy, why did you shoot the pet parrot? The farmer thought a minute, and he looked back at his son. He said, son, bad company. That's right. Y'all get that one in a minute. Uncommon friendships require shared interest. Secondly, uncommon friendships require selflessness. Has anybody in the house ever tried to be friends with a selfish person? Everything was about them. You have to shift everything around in your life to meet the demands. That's not a friend, that's a diva. Tell them the preacher said it. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't be a diva. I'm just kidding. I have an uncommon friend that I don't get to see very often, but I can tell you right now that if I called him and I said, Johnny, I need you, man. I need you. He would pick up what he's doing wherever he's at. And he would find me. And he would selflessly lend his ear and devote his time to being there for me. Because he's an uncommon friend. Friendship, listen today, is being willing to serve the other at your expense. That's genuine friendship. That's what Paul told the church at Philippi. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in loveliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Amen.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Yeah. There's this outward living that takes place through a committed, uncommon friend. Romans 12 and 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. That means they get the preference. They want to go to the aggravating burger joint and go to the burger joint. I want to go to the Lardos. 1 Corinthians 10, 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth.
Amen.
That's uncommon friendship. An uncommon friend puts the need of others above his own. And I'm not saying that this is easy. It's not. But I think of my daddy when I think of this point. Because he's always taught me the value of putting others first. Of preferring others. It's always somebody else. But Daddy, you're struggling to make ends meet, but son, they're in need. They don't have a roof over their head. They're hurting. Through the years, I got angry with him a few times. I'm like, what are you doing? Why? I just cut him off. Yeah, because that's what Jesus would do. Jesus was thinking on his way to the cross, you know what? He's always talking about putting others first. If you want to be a friend like the one that Solomon's describing, then you have to be selfless. Thirdly, of 27. The third requirement is servanthood. Friendship demands servanthood. It follows close on the heels of selflessness. Selflessness is the character trait, while servanthood is the action. Servanthood puts feet on the trait of selflessness. It's the fleshing out of selflessness. It's the going of the extra mile. It's the laying aside of selfish ambition. Uncommon friendships are not based on what the other person can do for us. Instead, we look for ways to help and to encourage them.
Amen.
Praise God. Fourth, I'm going to go as quickly as I can. Sacrifice. Jesus personified this trait. He gave his very life for his friends. No greater love hath any man than this, that he will lay down his life for a friend, for his friends. Well, there's some that won't even cancel their silly plans. Well, I got to do this. It's demanding my time. I'm on the edge, man. I'm about to lose it. I'm about to lose my mind. I ain't got time for that. I got to, whatever you got to do. Jesus went all the way to the cross.
Right.
He laid down his life.
Amen.
And he told us, if you love like me, you lay down your life. Even marriage is called to a place of sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How? He gave himself for us. Praise the Lord. Sacrifice. Got to move on. Fifth, uncommon friendships require sincerity. This is a contribution that is genuine and serious and authentic. No little. No makeup. Uncommon friendship, not makeup, this, but making things up. That's what I'm talking about. Friendships, uncommon friendships are not fake. They're not artificial. And that's such a problem in this world of social media. Artificial friendships. They like your post. That's my best friend. They're watching everything I do. You see him share my post the other day? Yeah, he knows me. He doesn't even know you exist. Okay? But that's as far as it goes. Uncommon friendships are real with you. They care about you. They hold you accountable because they want the best for you, not what they can get out of you. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they're established. Thank God for somebody that will love me enough to grab me by the nape of my neck and say, listen, Jonathan, that's not who you are. Get yourself together, man. Make better decisions.
Amen.
It's uncommon friendships. Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Listen to this, oh, powerful. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend, a hearty counsel. Oh, when they whip you into shape, just do that. Don't be like that. This is what Jesus is calling. Don't get mad. That's sweet. That's sweet. It's going to change your life for the better. That's uncommon friendships. I wish I had time to preach it. Strong commitment. Proverbs 20:6. Most men will proclaim every one of his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Uncommon friendships require faithfulness. Lastly, steadiness. I'm going to preach this one real quick. There was a man who failed and made a blunder of his relationship with the Lord. And he was sent at home expecting to hear condemnation and anger. He picked up a phone call. And he heard six simple words that changed his life. A friend loveth. At all times. A friend loveth at all times. That comes from a passage in Proverbs 17:17, where he said, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. One person said this, a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world is going out. This type of friend cooks fish on the beach and mends the broken fellowship. They don't leave when the going gets tough. They love you through it. They help you through it.
Right.
Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, I promise I'm closing. Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him that's alone and he falls. For he hath not enough to help him up. Oh, the value of uncommon friendships. I had a whole point I can't get to. I'm not going to preach to you all. And that is the rewards of unfathered friendships. There's so many. I can't preach it. How many of you desire that type of friendship? How many in the place desire to be that kind of friend? Amen. I want you to pray for three things today. I want you to pray, God, help me to be an uncommon friend. That's first. Secondly, I want you to pray, God, send me uncommon friends. And third, God, may I keep this sacred space for only those that lead me closer to you.
Amen.
Amen. We need to pray those three things. Can we pray together? God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the challenge today, Lord Jesus, not only to seek out uncommon friends, but Lord, the challenge to be the right kind of man, the right kind of friend. Lord, I pray that you will do that. Every person in this room, Lord, we hear your word. Lord, we believe your word. And so, God, we pray that you will help us to be an uncommon friend, Lord. Help us to love like you, Lord. To be patient like you, Lord Jesus. To invest like you, Lord. To express selflessness like you, Lord Jesus. Help us to be an uncommon friend. But Lord, send us uncommon friends, those uncommon friends into our lives. The people that we need in our lives, Lord. The ones that will help us along in life, Lord. The ones that will be there when the going gets tough, Lord. When the days are dark, Lord. When we need the encouragement. God, the one that will be there to hold us accountable, Lord, when we need to do better, Lord Jesus. Put them in our lives, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that you will give us a willingness to hold that sacred space, those intimate, close, that handful, those rare friendships, Lord, for only those that will lead us to you. God, I pray for that right now. We pray for it. We ask it in your name today. And the church said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recorded sermon from Brownsdale Baptist Church from Pastor Jonathan McCullough. If you'd like to speak with someone from our church, you can email us at pastor@brownsdalebaptistchurch.com.